Today's guests are James Partridge, brown belt under Pete Wilhelm, and no-gi instructor at Triton headquarters, and Hunter Colvin, also a Pete Wilhelm brown belt and no-gi instructor at Triton headquarters. What's up, guys? Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just got done with Chokes and Barley. I picked up hella game changers from both of you guys, like really, really cool stuff. And I think it's a little bit, you guys took a different approach from what most people would expect. Like today, like you guys taught some incredible back attacks. What made you guys decide to show those?
I feel like the back attacks kind of go hand in hand with the leg locks. I mean, just like I was talking about earlier with misdirection, like if they think I'm attacking the legs, then it opens up the back. If they think I'm attacking the back, it opens up the legs. So I feel like you can't really be a one-trick pony nowadays, and you have to play it all.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
For sure. That's for awesome. Sure. I also, you were there. I just taught a seminar 2 weeks ago on leg attacks. So I figured some people were at that seminar, switch it up this time and go for the back.
Yeah, that was excellent. Both seminars I got to attend, the first one with James was more of a leg lock oriented seminar and took so many details away that really just revolutionized my leg locking game. And then the same today with the back attacks. So you guys are on the cutting edge of these techniques from a traditional approach and from like a new age approach. What is keeping you guys on that cutting edge?
I guess just competing.
Competing.
Yeah, man. Sure. Competing, researching other guys in the game. Mm-hmm. And like the more you compete, the more you find what works and then what you have to work on.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
You know how it is. So
yeah.
Any time that I research somebody's game and I see like the path that they're taking, then I'll start to try to put it into our game and see how it works in competition. And just everybody, the room that we've built, everybody just keeps getting so much better, and they make you work on your game, evolve it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I would say a lot of it comes from jams. I really like to just be an athlete and compete and like not really think a lot, mm-hmm. just do the technique. Jams is the one who's always on YouTube, like studying all that stuff, and he even studies my game, and it's like, hey, do this, do this, mm-hmm. do this, so I definitely owe a lot of my credit to Jams.
Yeah, thanks, which man. Is like imperative, and that's really cool that you give him props like that. You know, I'm sure that that's where all the credit is due, because I see this dude masterminding a lot of these things. But for a dude that's like wanting to just be the athlete, it's really important for you to have good direction and have someone that really gives a fuck about your game and is going to do the work to study mm-hmm. not just your game, but the other people that should be fighting and things like that.
100%.
So yeah, I think that's what's keeping you guys on the top of the game. And I so enjoy getting to learn from you guys and hang out with y'all. Not just some of my favorite jiu-jitsu competitors, also some of my best friends.
Brother, so, man.
Thanks,
yeah,
man.
Absolutely, brothers. 100%. 100%. So thank you guys so much for being on the show. And yeah, I think that's a good place to cut it off.
Okay, cool.
Do you like teaching?
Huh? Do I like teaching?
Yeah.
Yeah.
like, is that your end goal, or do you?
Yeah, I mean, eventually, but like at the moment, right now, I'm just focused on like winning ADCC and like being selfish for myself. But like, I definitely see like long time down the road, like opening up a school and stuff. And
so, building on that, redirecting to you, like, do you find it hard being a competitor and a?
Yeah, that's the thing. Whenever you want to be an obsessive competitor, you find yourself being selfish. You find yourself like working on only yourself, your game, what you think is going to help your game the most. And whenever I talked to Hunter about teaching in the past, he was like, I want to focus on my thing. And I was like, that's fine, focus on it. And then I started making someone else who I could see was kind of selfish. I was like, you're gonna start coaching. And immediately it kind of opened him up to being more of like a team player and thinking about everybody else. But whenever you're trying to be the best, it's very hard to start thinking about your other students, you know? So having someone who's taken themselves out of the competition and focusing on their students, it's so important to have. Having somebody who's just focusing on you. And don't get me wrong, you can be a great competitor and focus on other people because you learn from teaching, but there's a difference between just being a competitor and being a competitor who teaches and like really tries to be a coach, not just a professor, but like a coach and like really invest in their students. It's different, you know, it's It's a next level that, like I told him, don't worry about it yet. Just worry about yourself. You know, if you want to teach a seminar, that's fine. It's your game. But like, if he had to learn like all this stuff that he doesn't do to teach people so they can get good at it, it's just not, it's not what you should be putting your time into. Yeah, mm-hmm. Being the best, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
So you almost have to be a little bit selfish.
Yeah.
The right word.
Self-centered. If you like, yeah.
really focused on what
it's
you're
weird.
Planning on doing.
Yeah.
It's not selfish, but it. I mean, it's not like you're.
It's prioritizing.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Your priorities are on yourself, mm-hmm. and whenever you start putting your priorities on your students, you can learn, mm-hmm. and that could evolve your game. But it's a different path.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about like John Danaher, his guys have gotten really good because he's not worried about his game and what he's doing on the mat. He's worried about every little thing they do. Like if I'm not rolling and I'm watching him roll, mm-hmm. how much better is he going to get? Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if I completely take myself out of the competition, then you don't stay relevant mm-hmm. as far as like what is really working out there.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to feel it. Mm-hmm. But maybe you can just train with them. You don't have to compete. Who knows? I don't
yeah.
know. Trying to find that balance.
Exactly.
Okay, so he's grown up with you guys, and like you guys are brothers, you guys know each other.
Yeah.
I've admired all three of you from the outside, and I noticed that you're an like you're all athletes, but you're more of like a versatile athlete. You're a wrestler, right? That's
mm-hmm.
your background.
Yeah,
you can tell in the way you move. Do you? And this is the same question for you. Do you ever find that some of his movements don't fit you, and some of his movements.
Oh, for
you.
Sure.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And is
yeah.
is there, do you guys ever argue about that?
No, because I think we both get it.
Yeah.
So, like, I might tell him to do something, but then I'll watch him do his own thing,
yeah.
and I'm like, I'm not going to tell him not to do that.
Right.
Like, I don't do that, but I'm not going to tell him not to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I've realized there's a lot of things like that, for sure.
Yeah. I think that goes back to, like, we were talking about coaching. Like when I teach class and when I teach a seminar, this is, I'm just teaching my game. Like I just do what I do all the time. But to be like a real good coach or a real good professor, you have to be able to teach all the games. And like that's where you have to start focusing on all the students and not just yourself and your own game.
You have time, you can do a plug. Sponsors,
yeah,
whatever.
Any of the sponsors you want to plug, any future competitions?
We need sponsors.
Yeah, we need help us.
No, no sponsors.
I mean,
not sponsors. We
yeah,
know people.
We know people.
Yeah, this guy needs to get sponsored.
You guys
ASAP.
This is my sponsor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big shout out to Fight to Win. They've always helped me along
for
the
sure.
lines.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
American Grappling Federation, they're where I got my start.
Yeah.
Definitely can't forget the people who helped you learn how to swim.
Yeah, a lot of people. It sucks because I've seen a lot of people that are coming up and they don't understand how to get your reps in to get to Fight to Win. You know, like you'll see guys who are like, oh, I don't want to do an AGF because, you know, I don't want to do a tournament I have to pay to get in. Like, it's so dumb because they don't understand you have to get reps in competing to be good at competing. You know, a lot of people, they just think like, well, I can get a super fight, so I'll just do that. When they really haven't put their time in.
Exactly.
So they get out there and they're learning things
you
on a pro
like
stage. Exactly. Exactly.
Reps
the reps are the most important thing. You have to get 100%. Good at competing,
yeah.
you know.
You got to have fun with it.
Yeah. And like he said, AGF really helped because I got to compete all the time in so many different divisions. And then once we did get into Fight to Win Pro, they really helped us out.
Yes.
Like, you know, I mean, traveling
yeah.
to Denver,
yeah,
like, they're the best,
the,
man.
Both of the organizations, like AGF, really helped me in my early stages to,
yeah.
like, get those repetitions in,
yeah.
get those jitters out, and now I feel like I can bring that product that I worked hard to achieve and take it to a big stage like that.
Yeah. They're both good platforms.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was teaching seminars from the stuff that, like, from the recognition I got from AGF,
mm-hmm.
I would teach seminars. And
yeah.
then Fight to Win, more recognition with them, more seminars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't think about, like, really getting your face out there, even if you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Get your name out there, and you make friends, fans. Some people call them fans. I call them friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you make bonds with people, so you can travel around, and you're surrounded by family.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
You're not just paying to compete.
Yeah, you're
it's
not.
It's much more than
it's a,
that.
It's a huge experience.
Connections, you're paying
mm-hmm.
for exposure,
entertainment,
for reps, entertainment,
yeah.
you said it's all of those things, so yeah, really valuable stuff. Yeah, if there's any closing stuff that you guys have,
For me, just thank you to our professor, mm-hmm. you know, Pete Wilhelm and everybody we train with. Yeah, that's about it. All the guys in the Nogi squad. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, thank you to the professor, Pete Wilhelm, for everything he's done. Thanks to Fight to Win, Seth and Missy. You guys have been great. And thanks to all the OMA homies. Every time we come out to Oklahoma City, you guys
are
the best.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right back at you. You know, we love our tracking homies. Always so much fun to train, spend time with you guys on the mats. We're just, you know, chilling.
Mm-hmm. So. I've always said, man, if I wasn't at Triton, I'd be at OMA. Yeah. Honestly, I've always said it since I met you guys.
No doubt. I feel the same way. If OMA ever closed, God forbid, then I'd be in Triton with you guys. Yeah. So, thank you guys so much for being on the show. Today's guest is Chris Hutchison.
What's up?
Yeah, brown belt out of Triton under Pete Wilhelm, and if I'm not mistaken, one of the head gi instructors.
Yeah, Pete and I are the gi instructors over there. So
beautiful.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. So today we just got done with Chokes and Barley, the seminar at the Twisted Spike Brewery, and Chris dropped knowledge bombs. Just so much. Really, really good, solid information. Like, completely changed my guard game in like 20 minutes.
No,
it was incredible. I'm not even bullshitting. I'm not trying to like blow smoke up his ass or anything. It's for real. Like that was incredible. And since the last time that we rolled, I've thought about your guard this whole time.
Oh yeah,
and how to pass it. Yeah. So
We need to meet up and have a jiu-jitsu lab one day.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love that.
I'll come up to the city.
Definitely, because Hunter and them are already talking about coming up, so we just need
that
to make
it
a family affair.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. So what made you decide, you told me a little bit ahead of time, but I think the listeners would find this really interesting, what made you decide to teach that specific style of guard?
I had like three different ideas of what I was going to teach. I was either going to teach some De La Hiva with the lapel, a little bit of stuff with some flair, because when I go to a seminar, I don't want to teach something boring, you know, mm-hmm. that everybody's seen before. I want to show something different. Mm-hmm. I had another series of things that I thought about showing, but I didn't want to get to something where it would be hard to retain and teach too much in a short time. So I figured I should teach the sweep that works every time. It's super strong. Like, I should show something that works for me every time. So mm-hmm. that's how
mm-hmm. I... Yeah, and it was like bulletproof. I don't know what you would call that style of guard.
Yeah, I don't know. It's more like a...
There was a lasso
like a
with
modified
it.
X-guard with the foot on the hip instead of across the hip.
Yeah, okay, cool. So yeah, I took a video of it, and I'm going to be studying it a lot.
That's cool.
And yeah, it was really, really good stuff. I'm going to have to like buy a bunch of private lessons from you or something.
No, we'll come up and have Jiu-Jitsu Lab, and you can show me your cool stuff, and I'll show you my cool stuff.
Word. I'll show you what I'm working on. I've been working on some cool stuff in the lab, but nothing like that. So what is next for Chris Hutchison?
I don't know. I've taken a little break from competing the last few months and just kind of taking it easy. Been teaching a lot, focusing on that. I'm going to pick back up this year, try and hit all the IBJJFs I can. I'm the gi guy. We have all the no-gi sub-only guys here. I'm the lone IBJJF-er.
So, yeah, last of a dying breed.
Yeah, for sure, last of a dying breed.
That's awesome. So, yeah. It's kind of interesting the way that, like, jiu-jitsu competition has shifted,
mm-hmm,
you know?
For sure.
I'm sure you've seen it over the last few years. Yeah. It's like IBJJF was the thing
mm-hmm.
for the longest time, like winning the Worlds,
mm-hmm.
winning the Pan Ams, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, people are getting paid to do jiu-jitsu now. It's fucking crazy. It's completely changed the dynamic.
Yeah. And the events themselves for the super fights are just cooler.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Super
they
cool.
put lights and smoke
mm-hmm.
and lasers and shit. Like, completely changes the game. Now it's like a show
for
instead
sure.
of just a jiu-jitsu tournament.
Yeah.
So part of it is the appeal to a broader audience,
mm-hmm.
I think. Like, you can have your family and friends come
mm-hmm.
to that, and they're not going to be bored out of their minds. Right?
Yeah.
They
for
come
sure.
to an IBJJF tournament, and they're going to be like, what the fuck
yeah.
is this? What did I get myself into? Unless they know what's up, then they'll be interested.
Yeah.
But what do you think that that's about? I mean, obviously the pay changes it up a little bit.
For me, I don't even think it's the pay. I just think it seems more elite, I think, to everyone when you feel like you have that one super fight, like,
mm-hmm.
on a big stage, all
yeah.
the lights just you. There's not eight mm-hmm. matches going on at the same time. You
right.
know, it's more... You know, intimate, just that one fight mm-hmm. that
everybody's
watching.
Your mm-hmm. one match mm-hmm. instead of having 10 matches going on mm-hmm. at once. Yeah, I can see that.
Everybody's in the UFC and MMA and everything that day these mm-hmm. days, and now it's, you know, the format is almost the same.
Kind of
walk out
yeah.
to the music mm-hmm. and the cool lights and all that stuff. It's super cool, and they do such a good job. Fight to Win, especially Seth and Missy, mm-hmm. you know, they kill it. It's super cool.
Yeah, they do an incredible job, not only of production but taking care of the athletes. Mm-hmm. Like, they pay out, I think it was over $1 million last year
it's
to
crazy.
Athletes or something. Yeah,
that's super crazy.
It's unheard of for jiu-jitsu athletes to be getting money
yeah.
like that. It's crazy.
Usually you're paying to fight.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's why all of us are so broke, you know, paying for these IBJJF tournaments. Maybe
if
I should just speak
for
myself.
Pay for your hotel,
yeah.
pay to compete.
Yeah, exactly.
Once, sometimes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. What am I going
to
do now?
Uh-huh, exactly, yeah. So it's cool to see the change, but it's also cool to have like someone that's still got the old school approach mm-hmm. and still is fighting for those, I mean, super important titles of a world champion, a mm-hmm. Pan-American champion. Like, we need guys like you around,
yeah.
you know, and it complements the no-gi side as well.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, a lot of people hate on the, like, points and the advantages and all that stuff. I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy the strategy behind mm-hmm. it still. And mm-hmm. I understand both sides. I understand, you know, the sub-only game where you don't have to worry about points. You can put yourself in whatever position you feel the strongest and mm-hmm. not worry. You know, you can
yeah.
be on top. And if you like the foot locks, you can go on bottom with no, there's no sweep mm-hmm. points. There's no nothing. But
yeah.
I also like, you know, IBJJF. I enjoy, you know, the strategic side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there are, like you said, a lot of haters on the point style, but it's just another rule set. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to master.
I think
you know?
If you like view it right, it only makes you stronger. Like, if you understand the point system and understand what you have to do, it makes your jiu-jitsu, you know, how do I get on top from this position? I'm down mm-hmm. 2 points with 45 seconds left. How do I sweep from here? You know?
Exactly.
Whereas sub only, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So I enjoy both.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there can be a level of complacency in the sub only where they're like, it doesn't
yeah.
matter what I
yeah,
do,
yeah.
you know, as long as I'm attempting,
right,
quotation
sure.
marks, submissions, yep. you know, which can be bullshit a
it
lot
can,
of the time.
I got to tell whole grip
bullshit.
Here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It looks like I'm going
yeah.
for this, but there's no danger
yeah,
involved.
For
so,
sure.
Yeah, thanks for keeping it real, Chris.
Yeah, man.
You're the shit. I seriously fucking learned so much from you today in 20 minutes. Like,
you're being super nice.
I hate
thanks.
To keep saying that over and over, but like, there's not a lot of people that have blown my mind in 20 minutes like that. So
cool.
Thank you for being you.
Thank
you for
man.
Being on the show, dude.
Awesome.
I've been wanting to have you on here for a long time.
Cool.
I want to have you on for a full segment eventually.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So we'll make that happen too.
Yeah, maybe when I come down, we'll plan a jiu-jitsu lab and then
yeah.
a podcast.
That would be beautiful.
Really nice mat space.
She does.
So, and
there we
I'm
go.
Getting a heater.
Mm. Mm.
So I have a
heated
mat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's cool.
You can
so she will judo throw
cool.
you if you're not careful.
Yeah. Nice.
It's about the size. It's a little bit bigger than that room.
Wow.
It's
nice.
All mat space.
Cool.
And weights.
Yeah, we need to plan that out.
Mm-hmm.
You guys let
and
me
not just say we are.
I'll just give you the keys.
Word.
Cool.
Well, you have to be there too. So.
Yep.
Yeah,
you're
I
there.
Want you to be there, yeah.
You can keep the keys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
But yeah, anything else that you'd like to plug before we close out?
No, man. Look forward to the next one.
Absolutely. Me too, man. Thank you so much.
Cool.
Awesome stuff. I had a
cool.
blast. Yeah, good stuff, man. Cool, cool. I'll be interviewing Janie Meadows, a brown belt under Seth Norman from Oklahoma Martial Arts Academy, mother, entrepreneur, business owner, and I think I didn't miss anything, did I? There's
so
many things that I could say. Yeah. Big sister to me.
Oh.
Yeah, just awesome human being in general. So we just got done with Chokes and Barley, the seminar at Twisted Spike Brewery.
Yes.
It was awesome. Janie taught some mind-blowing Del Hiva X. what made you decide to teach Del Hiva X today?
Well, you know, when I go to seminars, I like sometimes I feel like people show things that they may not typically use whenever they're going live. They may mm-hmm. Show techniques that are really pretty or
they look, you know, really cool whenever you're showing it, but it's not something that's really applicable to live rolling. Mm-hmm. And for me, whenever I teach, I like to go over things that I find myself using almost every time I roll, because I feel like if that can help somebody that, you know, finds themselves in that position, you know, quite a bit, you know, we've always got somebody trying to pass our guard. Mm-hmm. So let's, you know, let's sweep them and get to a positive position. So that's why I decided to show that today. I thought it would be something, you know, I didn't get too detailed or too deep into it because I wanted it to be something that, you know, somebody that's coming in as a white belt that, you know, maybe hasn't been doing jiu-jitsu very long, but is, you know, maybe wanting to compete or level up, these were things that they could also use and remember with just, you know, two or three steps, not, mm-hmm. you know, making it a 10-step, you know, move. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, two or three things that you need to remember to get to this position, and then here are some different options whenever you get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed all of the stuff, and even though I've, like, done a lot of De La Hiva X, I use it in competition all the time, it was still nice to have, like, that refresher, and there's details you brought up that I hadn't thought about in a while that made it even better for me. So really, really cool seminar. I so enjoyed getting to come and be your uki.
I thought you were gonna have to, you know, translate for me because I sound like a man right now with this wonderful cold, but luckily everybody was able to understand what I was saying.
Yeah, it was cool.
You know, we're here where they're serving all these amazing craft beers, mm-hmm. and so I'm drinking water to hydrate from mm-hmm. this illness, and as I'm walking around they bring out this really cool bottle and a jar. So I think everybody assumed that I've been walking around teaching this seminar drinking moonshine. no, guys, it was water. Yeah, not moonshine.
Right. Yeah. That's good. Clear that up. Yes. She wasn't hitting the bottle yet. So
yet.
She'll wait until later for all of that. She's being healthy drinking water. But yeah, it was perfect because the setting was like small and like intimate, so you didn't have to yell real loud. You
right.
projected your voice well, so it was really fun. I picked up a lot of good details. I think everyone that I saw drilling the moves picked it up really well. White belt to black belt, I saw people drilling the De La Hiva X, getting it down. And it's cool because I feel like our competitors are known for using De La Hiva mm-hmm. X, so I've had a lot of the people that actually showed up today have asked me, like, what do you do from here, here, and here? And it's like, I've never really had time to sit down and show them. So it was cool for you to be able to be like, this is it right here. Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people have come up to me and been like, that was so cool. I've been wanting to see how you guys do that. So
That's cool. It
was awesome. It was very good stuff. Do you plan, do you have any future, were you going to say something?
Yeah.
What's up?
How do you feel about being the only woman instructor? Like,
yeah.
It was an invite, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel like being invited, the only brown belt to...
I mean,
a female brown belt.
I thought mm-hmm. it was cool. I mean, you know, representing for the ladies and,
yeah.
you know, getting out there. But, like, I try not to, you know, I guess think too much as in I'm the only female or, you know, anything to that extent. I just think that it's really cool to be, you know, asked, you know, that somebody thinks that what I do with jiu-jitsu is valuable enough to share with others, whether mm-hmm. they're men, women, children. So, I mean, that to me was like the big honor.
Mm-hmm.
It was neat, but there's a lot of other really great females out there too. So I thought it was cool that they asked me
yeah,
to come out
yeah.
and do it.
It's very special for sure. So in the future, do you have like any big seminars coming up? Any competition plans? What's next for Janie Meadows?
Well, honestly, like I've kind of, you know, put competition on the back seat for a little bit because I've just been really enjoying coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I've had students come in as white belts that have said, you know, they're, you know, never going to compete and never do these things. And then, you know, through training with all of us, it's just really exciting to see them, you know, become Pan American champions and reach these really, you know, high podiums.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's been really, I've found my passion through teaching. Not to say that I don't want to still compete because,
mm-hmm.
like, I mean, I think once you're a competitor, that bug to get back out there is always going to be there. So, you know, I just don't have anything like specific that I'm looking at right now. I think that, you know, introducing the new divisions for the females at PANS was huge this year.
Big stride.
I would have loved to have been out there. In fact, like, I think I've competed at PANS every year for like the last 6 years or something. I mean, that's one of my favorite tournaments to go to. It's just not going to, you know, work out for us this year. We've just got so much other stuff going on with the team.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, I think getting out there and competing is a big part of, you know, your jiu-jitsu journey. But I think people find, you know, when you're going along, you find out like what your passion is. And I just love seeing people have that aha moment, you know. And, you know, I have a great instructor, you know, Seth.
Yeah.
I'm so lucky because, like, we can be at home and I'm constantly, like, thinking of, well, what if I did this or what if I did that? And we'll literally, you know, pull out the mat or get down on the carpet and, you know, go over the techniques. So, you know, he doesn't teach me jiu-jitsu based on like necessarily what's going to work best for him or what's going to work best for you. It's what's going to work best for me because he's seen my style and I'm usually not the bigger, stronger person. So I've had to rely so much on the little details and technique. And so I've just been, you know, really lucky to have him be able to teach me and believe in me, because like if you would have asked me 10 years ago if this is what I was doing, there's like no way I would have thought that. So,
and that's kind of a recurring theme in our interviews today, is like it's so important to have that direction and that leadership from your professor to give you like, yeah, this is going to be good for your game, but no, you probably shouldn't do this or whatever. It gives you that direction and kind of helps you focus in on what you should be doing.
Right.
And I see that in you as well. Like, you say that your passion is now coaching, and it shows on the mat for sure, 100%. And it shows in your students, like all the girls that are coming up behind you. So it looks like you found your niche. It's so cool to watch you grow, because we've been, me and Janie have done jiu-jitsu together for 7 years now, I think.
Yeah.
Seven coming up on eight.
Oh, actually, it's been over eight.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, holy cow. So forever. And so cool to see her progress and see her journey through jiu-jitsu. So seeing her grow as a competitor, as an athlete, as a coach, really, really cool experience. So I think that's everything I got today. Anything that you want to plug or shout out?
I mean, to, you know, my coach, Seth, and to everyone at OMA, I mean, couldn't do this on our own.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you're only as strong as your team and the people that are, you know, building you up when you've got a bad day and knocking you down when your head gets too big. So, you got to have those people around you, you know. I've had people come in and you know, white belts, and they're like, oh, well, I trained at so-and-so, and nobody could even, you know, pass my guard, or nobody could do this. And I'm like, you're training at the wrong place. You want to be where you're getting beat constantly. Yeah. And so, like, I think that's, you know, across the board, you know, what you want to look for is just a good team to, you know, help elevate you and get you where you want to be.
Absolutely. So. 100%. Yeah, shout out OMA, all the awesome people we have there. We wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be doing this podcast. I wouldn't be doing jiu-jitsu if it wasn't for OMA, if it wasn't for Seth and Janie.
I begged your mama.
Yeah, that's actually a cool story.
You were actually the cool story. You were out being ornery, and she had grounded him. How old were you?
Probably 16.
16,
yeah,
17.
16, 17.
You've been out being ornery, got grounded from OMA, and I saw her at at Jersey Mike's, and Seth saw her, and he goes, oh my gosh, that's Troy's mom. You need to go talk to her. And so I went over and we just, you know, said, hey, don't ground him from this. Ground him from everything else. But don't ground him from this, because you'll see someday he's going to be really great at this. He's got a future in it, and he's got a lot of talent. And she believed us.
And here we are today.
And then here you are.
Well, so, thank you for getting me back from the dark side.
Awesome. Yeah. We'll go rest up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much
for
being on the show. Love you too. So, Michael South.
Hey.
Mind-blowing. Oh, yeah. I should introduce you.
Hi.
My friend Michael South. Brother from another mother. Hanato Tavares, brown belt. Four striper, soon to be a black belt. And lead instructor at National Martial Arts. They have a beautiful facility. And he teaches all day long and brings up a bunch of killers underneath him. Anything else that I'm missing? Krav Maga, black belt,
happy karate black belt.
Happy karate.
That's not it.
Yeah. It's a new art. I made it up. I'm a 20th degree black belt in happy karate. So yeah, thanks for that.
You're welcome.
No, that was a plenty good intro, Troy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, if I hadn't had so much to drink, then I would remember more of your accolades.
You know, who would have thought that at a seminar at a brewery, this would happen?
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
Who'd have thunk that I would get drunk?
So anyway.
I'm a poet. I know it. Hope
yeah,
I don't blow it.
And he knows it. Well, the rhyming is indicative of,
yeah, of the alcohols.
Poetic prowess.
Yeah. Yeah, more drinks. More drinks.
So, what are we talking about today?
Tell us about what you
yeah,
did.
Yeah, tell us about how you blew all of our minds.
Yeah, legit.
So, there were two awesome brown belts that taught before me, mm-hmm. Janie Meadows and mm-hmm. Chris Hutchison, mm-hmm. and they both taught actually sort of similar things. They taught some open guard, sort of gi grip-oriented jiu-jitsu as far as like sweeping, and Janie finished up with some passing and all that good stuff, which was really cool. I was going to teach something similar, but when I found out that they were both teaching passes, I decided to teach them chokes from, mm-hmm. you know, when you're already swept and past the guard and on top and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So I taught some fun, fancy lapel stuff today, mm-hmm. passing the lapels all around and choking people. So yeah, that's what I did.
Chokes galore.
Chokes
Joker
galore.
Chokes.
Yeah.
Bravo choke or Darce choke with the lapel, all kinds of cool shit. Like even the Darce choke I've worked before, but you added the detail of like putting the arm through and the pressure with your deltoid was phenomenal. Interesting, couldn't figure it out until you showed it that way. So
sweet.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Hopefully he can choke everybody with that now. It'll be
I
great.
Hope so. You know? Yeah. Yeah, when you're smaller than everybody that you roll with, you know, you have to find all these yeah. variations to actually finish stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To work around their muscles and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's, I you know, Sonny Smith is like my number one training partner. He owns Fitworks, mm-hmm. personal training in Yukon. So he works out for a living, and he's mm-hmm. he's like literally walks around at 5% body fat and just, you know, kind of looks like Brad Pitt. He pisses everybody off.
He's like an action figure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He does.
Yeah,
G.I.
like,
Joe.
Girls love him and guys hate him. And so anyway, I just kind of spitefully taught something that works really well against muscular people. I was like, nice. So if they look like this, mm-hmm. this is how you can try to murder them.
That's perfect.
Exactly.
While you've simulated murder on him.
Exactly. So that was spitefully why I chose that particular submission today. So, yeah.
Well, I sure enjoyed it. It was really good stuff. It was
I'm
very
glad
fun.
You did.
I enjoyed
yeah.
it so much that I actually went up to him and I'm like, hey, I need to schedule private with you. Mm-hmm. I've mm-hmm. been working lapels a lot, and yeah. in my last competition, I subbed
choked the shit out of this girl.
Nice. Where was that?
Literally. IBJJ. Shit her pants after she got choked.
Nuh-uh.
She no, but it would be cool if she did.
And she started CZ. Yeah.
No. Yeah. At IBJJF what?
There's
finals,
video of it.
Austin.
Yeah. Wow. Well, congratulations on that.
What?
That is
yeah.
so
pretty
I'm
incredible.
Falling
pretty
in love
incredible.
With lapel chokes. So like, I was super, super stoked to see that and to see submissions and not just like passing. And
it's really cool how you can have like handles on somebody, and then however they move, you can just jack them up that way.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Where do you want to go? Okay, mm-hmm. cool. That's fine.
Well, you're like setting
extra,
a trap.
Yeah. Yeah. It's setting a trap, and it's an extra limb, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah.
you have
absolutely.
Two arms, two legs. Now you got a lapel that wraps.
Two
it's
lapels.
A noose. It's a literal noose that you just need
it's
to tie.
Connected
absolutely.
To you.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
what's cool is everybody talks smack about, you know, sport versus street, but. You know, wearing hoodies and stuff, you can mm-hmm. totally do a lot of
yeah.
this stuff. Not
you
all
do
of
a
it,
lot of those chokes on Julia right now.
Absolutely. So
we're not going
here
to.
We go. Yeah, but no, with somebody's hood or especially like leather jackets, things that are really strong,
yeah.
you could absolutely choke somebody with mm-hmm. that.
For
you
sure.
You should always choke someone that's wearing a leather jacket.
Yes. That's actually they take that risk when they put the jacket
yeah,
on and
that's
they leave
actually
their house.
True. Mm-hmm.
You know, what you do in your own home is your own, that's fine.
Soon
when
as
you
step
leave the
out,
house,
You're asking
for it.
We do
want to choke you with your own.
Yeah. We'll just let that be a little disclaimer to anyone wearing
like
a
leather
jacket. You've been warned.
Yeah, you've been warned. We do want to choke you with that.
That is excellent.
Yes.
Good stuff. So, what is next for Michael South? Any big tournaments, seminars? I don't know. Is your Hanukkah coming up? Are you going to be christened?
Man, I have no idea. I'm normally a pretty forward-thinking individual, I would like to think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the beautiful things about jiu-jitsu is that your game can be one thing today, and you can be absolutely positive that based on your current experience and your training partners and whatever, your flexibility, your range of motion on all the different joints, that you're doing the right thing, but then a year from now, it could be totally different. And it might mm-hmm. even be contradictory because it's such a mm-hmm. complex martial art that, you know, based on certain things that may happen to you over the next year, you might have a totally different style the next year. So I understand that and appreciate that. So I can't definitively say where I'll be like a year from now, mm-hmm. but I did the fight to win. We both did, Troy and I both did the fight to win last mm-hmm. week. It was okay, I guess. We didn't right. sub our guys.
We didn't sub our guys, so. But me and Michael, for first and foremost, most important thing, we looked fucking great.
Yeah, like our hair was on
our
point.
Hair was good.
You know, if nothing else, we did win, first of all.
We won, that's
there
okay.
There was some confusion about whether or not I won.
Yeah, we didn't know who won.
I did win, and we both won, and our hair looked great.
And our hair looked
Can
great.
Can I address that for anybody that might give a shit that was listening? So the reason why the ref raised the other guy's hand.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we would like to know.
The fight was over, and I was super pissed because I was positive I was going to get the submission, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I just thought that I lost. I was just so upset that I didn't tap him. I was like, yeah, whatever, I lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I wasn't paying attention to the flags or if my mind was playing tricks on me, but I was so positive that I lost that when Thomas raised my hand, the ref that was raising my hand, I just happened to know him, and I was like, no, dude, it's the other guy. Like, and he was like, oh, my bad, and he raised the other guy's hand. Just, you know, because he knows me, and he just, like,
he
was like, oh,
you.
Yeah, my bad. And he just did it, because I said, and so I came up and formally apologized to him and to Seth Daniels at the end of it. I was like, you know what? That's my bad. So I mm-hmm. left the stage thinking legitimately that I lost the fight.
Really?
And then everybody was like, no, you won. You won. And I was like, no, I didn't. And they were like, no, you idiot.
You
did
actually
won. Win.
They raised the
your
flags for you.
And so then I went over and Seth Daniels paid me. And I was like, I
did win.
That's my bad.
Yeah. Well, you dominated the match.
So that's what
you
happened.
Know? You dominated the whole match.
Yeah.
You got close to your submissions. We both did. We both got close to where we wanted to be.
Yeah, you did a great job, man. I feel like it's harder to snag a sub and no gi, honestly, just because there's fewer. It's easier and it's harder at the same time. Like, there's fewer grips, there's fewer submissions that are available.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But
more movement sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I gave that face choke everything I had. I was just trying to break his jaw.
Yeah.
His fucking face.
If it makes you feel better, I would have tapped so hard at that.
I feel like anyone would have.
So fast. Like,
I was fully hipped in with a body triangle.
Yeah.
Just cranking his face.
For anybody that didn't see that, Troy had a body triangle. He's on the back. He was face choking the shit out of this poor guy. Arching his back.
Hips engaged.
Driving the hips in, and he just didn't tap.
Yeah.
Maybe he has an iron jaw.
Maybe he just likes that kind of shit. Maybe he's into some kind of submission, whatever.
I think he's greater than any pain that he might have been feeling at the time.
Could have been.
It's a cool thing about jiu-jitsu. We've all seen that. Who was that? The chick that got her arm like,
oh my God, Tammy Musumeci.
Is that who that was?
Wasn't it? Who got it by Nick?
Really?
Michelle
I didn't know that was her.
Nicolini.
Yeah.
Broke her arm like 3 or 4 times, wasn't it?
Yeah. Super disgusting.
Yeah.
Finished.
Lost
the match, but yeah.
Guys
don't do
that
shit.
That. We would scream, we would lose
I'd say,
the match.
Fuck that, yeah, I'm out.
But yeah, Musumeci was like, no, I'm gonna
That's a bad bitch.
Thing. Now, did she win?
No.
She lost.
Ah.
But she.
She got swept,
will
I think.
Forever be a winner in our hearts.
She will forever be. And that the pages of history of.
But her arm will never work again, so. There's that. Who knows?
I can't believe that was her. I've been to a seminar that her and her brother taught.
Were you at that one? I didn't get to go to that one.
Omar French is a Triton black belt in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He had Mikey and Tammy Musumeci at his school. That was like summer of 2016. That was an awesome seminar.
Yeah.
They taught some baby bolo stuff and some tripod sweeps, and that was really fun. So
nice.
I actually got to roll with Mikey.
How cool.
Yeah, I mean, he hurt me.
He hurt you.
He didn't hurt me, but like,
he was
his daily heave is so good. He just kind of tweaked my knee a little bit. I was like, gosh, darn. The pressure on that knee was incredible.
Yeah.
And then he just, you know, annihilated me. I was happy to have that done.
Right.
Yeah, I still rolled with him now.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks.
There is a reason why he's, you know, the first to do
he's done. I guess when you win pans every year at consecutive belts, apparently you're pretty good.
Yeah, you must be pretty decent.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I've never placed at pans. So.
Honestly, somebody told me
fuck
that.
Fuck him anyways.
Before I knew who Mikey Musumeci was, somebody told me that, and I was like, no, you're mistaken, actually, because that's not possible.
Right.
He did, though.
That's he really did.
Retarded.
Yeah. I think him and Hoffa and Gooey are like the only ones that have done that shit.
Wow.
Maybe Andre's done it. I don't know.
That's incredible.
Right? Yeah, it's like a handful of people that have ever done that.
It's very inspiring, but it's very off-putting at the same time. Like, man, I should just quit, obviously.
Right. To be a purple, almost brown belt, to never have placed at PAMS, doesn't make you feel very good.
It's like, gosh. Yeah. But, you know, Keenan wasn't anything special until he was, like, late purple belt, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Same with Robert Drysdale. He never really won anything until purple belt. Yep, started fucking shit up at purple belt. Felipe Costa, if you've ever heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't win anything until black belt. He's
totally
a gangster.
He came in here and changed our lives a couple years ago.
Dude's amazing.
I still, incredible. The Omoplata escape and the passing concepts from him when he came back a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Totally changed the way I do jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
He's amazing.
And on a human level, just such a cool guy.
I didn't really get a chance to talk to him much.
Yeah.
But.
He like stayed at Jason Lee's house. Shout out Jason Lee for bringing him in. The man.
Yeah.
The myth, the legend. But yeah, it was so cool to be around such a high level jiu-jitsu guy that's so fucking cool. Just acts like a normal human being.
That's awesome.
I'm just regular.
You know, I think as our sport grows and more people do it, I think that's something that we're going to have to address at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That, because like back in the day, even 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
When you're even like a brown belt or a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, that was so special and it was so rare that they got like, I don't know, maybe a little bit too much admiration and respect, reverence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so as more and more people do it, we're going to have to start like actually being good people.
Right, yeah.
Right? And not just like, oh, I'm a black belt, so I can just...
I can do whatever I want. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I think there was too much of that for a little bit. But now it seems like the more, like... It seems like jiu-jitsu attracts good human beings in general, for the most part. There's exceptions to every rule. But, I think that we'll just see more and more of that. I think we'll see more incredible human beings. I'm sure Bill Gates will do jiu-jitsu if he doesn't already.
Probably, you know? Yeah.
Probably already does.
Probably
he might
has
have
like
invented
an $800 gi that
we've probably
never heard
invented
of.
It. Yeah, it's probably made out of like microchips or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would wear it. That's a cool idea.
No, but I don't have like a personal vendetta against some black belt or some. I don't want to give the wrong impression. No. But like we're talking about seminars, right? Mm-hmm. So back in the day, seminars were like they didn't happen very often, and people didn't even have the opportunity to learn from a black belt. So if they come into town, you were there.
Oh, yeah.
You had to be there because it was so rare. But now seminars happen all the time.
Yeah.
Multiple time world champions.
Almost every weekend.
Yeah, exactly. But, and so it's actually going to become more and more important if people are actually good instructors.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to go to one of my favorites in the world. Mm-hmm. I won't mention his name, but he was a multiple time world champion. And I was like so stoked to learn from this guy.
Uh-huh.
And he was a terrible instructor.
Oh,
and I was so upset about that. I was like, God, dude, you're like, he was getting frustrated with people for doing the move wrong. And it was just, I was like,
it's a bummer.
When you're a little kid and you have a balloon and somebody just pops it, that's what I felt like.
Fuck.
I was like,
yeah,
it's like,
so.
Oh, well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There goes my balloon.
I mean, I guess I still did it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I get my picture with him, so whatever.
Right? Damn, I forgot to get my picture with everybody today. It's okay, I got a podcast with all of them. That's
yeah,
pretty good.
That's good enough.
Right? That's good enough.
Maybe they're
for
still
sure
out there drinking beer.
Right. Yeah. So anything else that you want to plug before we call it a day?
I guess I would be rude if I didn't. my wife, Adelaide, she's not here. I'm looking at the empty chair next to me. She's out there somewhere. Without her,
that's
I wouldn't be anything.
Thing I've heard all
that was sweet.
Can I pet a puppy?
My heart melted
There are puppy dogs out there. No, I really appreciate you guys having me on. It was an awesome day today, and I hope that events like this gain more and more traction in our local mm-hmm. jiu-jitsu community here in Oklahoma, and this becomes bigger and bigger things.